I'll be reading from John chapter 5, chapters 21 through 30. John 5, 21 through 30. And it reads, "For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming now when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me."
It is indeed a blessing and a treasure to be amongst God's people, to be able to come and to worship him in spirit and in truth, to be able to hear another portion of his word, to sing songs of praises to our God, to remember our Lord's death till he comes. What a blessing it is to be here. When we consider the reality of judgment. And last week we talked about judgment and it being a reality. And we discussed some things concerning the judgment day. We want to continue some of those thoughts on this morning. Because when we consider that great day, and it is a great day to those who are prepared, we know that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. But the question we have to ask ourselves is this: are we prepared to stand before the judgment seat of Christ? If you are a child of God and you're faithful to God, the answer to that question is yes. You are prepared. If you're not a child of God or maybe unfaithful to God, the answer to that question is no. Friends, God has given all judgment to the Son, John 5, verse 22, meaning that he is the one that's going to judge all mankind. We notice, according to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, Paul is talking to the church at Corinth. He said, "For we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an answer to things that we have done in this body." It's interesting that he says "in this body," which means that there must be some type of difference between the individual in the body and the flesh itself. Yet, they are one. We know that they are one because man is made up of body, soul, and spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. But we also understand that when we consider the intellect, the will, the mentality, the mind, the soul of man is inside of the flesh. We know that when the spirit leaves the body dies, James 2:26. It is that soul that's going to stand before God, and we know that when we consider that, the soul has to be ready. We think about the judgment day and what's going to be there on the judgment day. In John 12, verse 48, Jesus said, "He that rejects me, receiveth not my word, has one to judge him. The words that I have spoken," the King James Version says this, "the same." I wonder why the New King James Version took that out. That's interesting. "But the same shall judge him in the last day." Guess what's going to be there on the judgment day? The word. We understood, we discussed that on last week as it relates to the small and the great standing before God according to Revelation 20, 11 through 15. We know that a book was opened, so another book was opened, or some books were opened, another book was opened. That's the book of life, and the small and the great will be judged out of that book. We're in that group. When we consider the great judgment day, there's going to be dialogue on that day. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 and 22. Don't go to sleep on me yet. Just start it. In Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse number 21, we notice something that's going to take place on that day. Friends, it's nothing different than what's taking place today. People are always trying to justify themselves, always trying to give an answer for themselves, always trying to say, well, I did this, or I meant to do that. Jesus said, and these are the very words of Jesus. It's very interesting when you're talking to people. They're always trying to change things. And the only thing you have to say is Jesus said that. The very fact that Jesus said this ought to say something. Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Notice, many will say to me in that day. Remember on last week, we talked about how the judgment day is referred to as that day, the last day, the day of judgment, the judgment of Christ, the day of Christ, the day of the Lord. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? Now notice the dialogue that's taking place. We have them talking, and now notice what the Lord says. Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Meaning that you did this without authority. I didn't tell you to do what you did. We stop and we consider those very words, friends, and we have to ask ourselves, are we prepared for that great day? It is a great day for those of us who are faithful. It's not a great day for most. For we know that many will not find that way. Few be there that find it, Jesus says from his own words. If you notice John chapter 5, verses 21 through verse number 30, we notice some very important facts about this last day. Number one, we see in verse number 21 that the Father raised the dead, gives life to them. Even so, the Son gives life to those whom he will. For the Father judged no one, but has committed judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. It's interesting that God did send his Son. He sent his Son the first time to save the world, John 3, verse 15 and 16. But the next time he comes, he's going to come to judge the world. We know that's true. But look at verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. That's key. Friends, we should have a desire to have everlasting life. We want life eternal. We want it. Why? Because that's where God is. Psalm 90, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God is an everlasting God. The people who serve him must have eternal life within them and shall not come into judgment, but pass from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming. Now, notice the words of Jesus. And now in when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Live. Friends, we want to live. We want to live because when we stand before God, we want to be alive when we stand before God. We don't want to be dead in our sins. When we stop and we consider some things here, look at verse 26. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now notice what Jesus says here. Do not marvel, do not be amazed at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves. Now notice the language here. He's talking about dead people, people who have died. We know that the dead in Christ will rise first, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We know that those who have died, and when the Lord comes back, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and following, they're going to be raised up, and then we're going to meet the Lord in the air. We know that's going to take place. But at the very voice of Jesus Christ, those who are in the grave, they're going to come forth. Those who have done good, notice, to the resurrection of life. Those who have done evil, to the resurrection of damnation. Condemnation. One thing we do know for a fact, the very fact that we have the resurrection of life and the resurrection of condemnation, both of them are going to be eternal. Why? Because after the judgment day, or on the judgment day rather, we know that they're going to be standing before God, and that from that particular point, it's going to be nothing but timelessness. Now think about that. Right now, we operate within the realm of time. God, who is timeless, is able to look at time at all times. And when we stop and we consider God, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 16, being immortal, which means that he does not die, cannot die. There is no time limit to God. We stop and we think about the soul that's in us. Friends, it's eternal. But notice what he says. He says, I can do nothing. I myself can do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own, but the will of my Father who sent me. We stop and we consider some of these things, friends. Some are going to be raised to the resurrection of life. Others are going to be raised to the resurrection of condemnation. What are some important facts about this great day? Some important facts about this great day is Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. We looked at this just for a little bit on last Sunday. I just want to glance over it again. We know that every idle word is going to meet us in the judgment day, Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. I have in my notes, that means our words ought to be few. We ought to be thinking through our words. Our words ought to have meaning. Our words ought to be apples of gold and settings of silver, Matthew or Proverbs 25 and verse number 11. Our words ought to be with grace, seasoned with salt, Colossians 4 and verse number 6. We ought to watch our words. But then turn to Malachi 3 and verse 16. In the book of Malachi, the book right before the book of Matthew, here we find the people of God, and really the people of God are in a bad state right now. Sin is running rampant. As a matter of fact, it's not just running rampant outside of Israel, but it's running rampant even inside of Israel. Here we find that the people of God, there were still some that were talking about God. Some that still esteemed him highly, just like those of us who are here and those who are striving to be righteous in other parts of the world, members of the Church of Christ. In Matthew or Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 16, notice what your Bible says. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. Listen to this language. And the Lord heard. The Lord listened and he heard them. In the Hebrew, it literally means he was very attentive to their words. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and who meditated on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, my treasure, and I will spare them. I will have mercy and pity and compassion upon them, as a man spare his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not serve God. Friends, we stop and we consider these great words, even during this time when sin was running rampant, in and outside of Israel, there were those who were talking about the Lord. You know, that's still happening today. You know, we gain great encouragement. And friends, we ought to be talking to one another on our spare time, away from the building, if you will, encouraging one another with words that's going to help one another, admonish one another, chastise one another, build up one another. Why? Because our words are going to meet us there on the day of judgment. So our words ought to be few. But also, when we think about what's going to meet us in the judgment day, some great facts. Our actions. Our actions are going to meet us on the judgment day. But be encouraged. Look at Hebrews 6 and look at verse number 10. Be encouraged when you hear this particular verse. In Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. I'll get my tongue right eventually this morning. For God is not unjust. Listen to these great words, friends. God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, and that he has ministered to the saints and do minister. Hold on. The things that I do in this body, Brother Hall, are going to meet me in the judgment. Yet God is not forgetting the good and the labor of love that we're doing down here. Oftentimes, and I've been guilty of this, you know, God is, he sees all the evil that you're doing, but God sees the good that you're doing. Amen. We need to hear those words. And what that's going to do, Mike, is going to cause us to do even more good and more good, and then be a people of good, that when we stand before God, He's going to see the good and say, well done, thou good, faithful servant. The good. Oh, yes, hell ought to be a deterrent, but the good ought to be an encouragement. Why? Because we're striving to do that which is good. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22, we know that some things are going to catch us in the judgment. Friends, I hope, pray, and trust that we're taking the words of Jesus and Paul, those who are inspired by the Holy Spirit, born along by the Spirit. But notice what Jesus says here. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 and 22, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. Whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a reason, without a cause, shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Do you think that our attitudes and our words mean something to God? They do. Just as we saw the good, we see the negative. We saw the righteous, we see the unrighteous. Friends, these things are facts about the judgment day. But turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25 and we'll notice on that day, we see some more facts. Some more facts about this great day. And it is a great day. In Matthew chapter 25, verse number 32, we see some things. We see that it's the Son of Man coming in His glory, verse 31. Verse number 32, all nations will be gathered before Him. He will, notice, separate them one from another as a sheep separates the sheep from, a shepherd separates the sheep from the goat. Now notice, what's going to take place on this great day, Brian? A separation is going to take place. One brother said in jest, and the older I get, I don't know how funny it is that when the Lord comes back and you see people up in the cloud and you're not there yet, you got problems. Or when you see people on the Lord's right side and you're on the left, you got problems. There's nothing funny about that. And the reason why there's nothing funny about that is because God sent His Son to save man. God is not slack concerning His promises. Men count slackness, but wants all men to come to repentance. God doesn't want anyone to be lost. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, hell was created for the devil and his angels. Which means that we're going to have the souls of men in a place where God didn't create for them. There's nothing funny about that. You know why there's funny? Nothing funny about that? Because truth be told, the one speaking to you could go there. I could lose my mind and become an immoral individual and be on my way to eternal damnation. There's nothing funny about that. What we're trying to do is live the type of life, preach the right gospel, make sure that we stand right with God so when we stand before God, we can hear, well done. So this separation is going to take place as the shepherd divides the sheep from the goat. He divides the one that was docile and willing to hear from the one that was kicking against the goats and being rambunctious and rebellious. It's not talking about literal sheep and literal goat. He's talking about those who have those particular characteristics. We want to be docile. We want to be teachable. We want to be a people who are willing to learn from the Lord so He can lead us to His Son and lead us to eternal life. But not the one that's hard-headed and rambunctious and rebellious and stubborn. He says He's going to divide them. But notice, drop down to verse 34. We see something here. In verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come. Now all this is taking place, Brother Dennis, on that day. Come, you blessed. Oh, isn't that beautiful? You've done all that you could. You've been faithful to God. And now you're ready for this day and you're standing for Jesus and you're honoring the Lord. And you say, come. Yes. This is what I've been laboring for. This is why I've been disciplining myself. And this is why I've been holding my tongue. And this is why I've been telling people about the eternal way. So I can hear, come, you blessed. Blessed are my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Friends, don't run past that verse. To hear those words ought to tell the Christian that God had me in mind, had you in mind before time begun. What a considerate God. What a God that loves us so much that I want them to share my glory. I want them to enter into the kingdom where I stay, where I live. I want to feed them from the tree of life. But drop down to 41. Not only is there a great invitation, but there's a great casting. All on this same day. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. It's interesting. I'm having an ongoing conversation with a preacher now. He don't believe this. Brian, my heart hurts, man. Why are we preaching? Why are we preaching then? Why are we expecting people to live right? It don't make no sense to me. Why don't we just eat and drink and be merry for tomorrow we die? It makes no sense to me. Why do we want people to be moral? Because we don't want them to hear, depart from me. Why do we want families to stay together and pray with one another and love one another? Why do we want members of the church to do what is right and go out there and be an influence? Because Jesus said this, and it's true because Jesus said it. Be something different than some quack like Mike Bonner said it, but Jesus said it. The very fact that he said it makes it true. He says, depart from me. He calls it everlasting fire. Well, that's not real fire. We do know this. It's separation from God. And it's eternal. We do know that. Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8, when Jesus was talking about the centurion, I love this about Jesus. He mentioned something that's very powerful and encouraging to us. Because none of us are Jews. We're Gentiles. In Matthew chapter 8, centurion, well, his servant was sick. Needed to be healed. And Jesus told him, I'll come. He said, no. Look at verse number 9. Verse 8, he says, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Can you imagine that attitude? You know, that's the attitude we ought to have. The very fact that God wants to even dwell among us ought to just encourage us. That he just wants to be part of us, ought to encourage us. That he sent his son to die for our stead, that Christ can dwell in our hearts. Ephesians 3 and verse number 17, by faith. That ought to encourage us. The very fact that God want to have anything to do with us ought to encourage us. And notice what he says. He says, for I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes, and servant do this, and he does it. Jesus heard it, and he marveled. He said, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you, now notice what Jesus says, that many will come from the east and west and recline. Sit down. They're going to recline. Who are they going to recline with? They're going to recline with dead people? No. They're going to recline with folk who are alive, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Faithful individuals who did the will of God, that God esteemed very highly. Yo, even though these men are dead in the ground, they were still alive, because once a person dies, they go somewhere. He said they're going to recline. They're going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Where? In the kingdom of heaven. He's not talking about the church, because Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were never in the church. He's talking about in heaven where God is. They're going to recline. Guess what? They're going to take ease. Friends, right now is not the time to be taking ease. Right now is not the time to be forsaking the assembly. Right now is not the time to be indulgent in sin. Right now is not the time to be being negligent to the will of God. Right now is the time to be on the move for God. We can relax later. And that's why I run so much. I ain't talking about physical running. I want to use this body up. Nobody can use it after I get through with it. I want it to be so tired that once it has been transformed to the incorruptible body, I'm going to appreciate it. Friends, we got to work. And we got work to do. We'll relax when we get to glory. That's when we'll relax. Notice what he says. Verse 12. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. That doesn't sound like the church. That doesn't sound like the world. It sounds like eternity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. And as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Hold on. We have this centurion coming to this Jew for the healing of his servant. And Jesus said, I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to take care of you. And I'm going to take care of all of those Gentiles that come from the east and the west that believe in me and do my will. And on that day of judgment, you be faithful, I'm going to take care of you. Friends, I don't know what more do we need from God. We just need to be faithful. So, for this reason, let me give you a few exhortations. Let us take full advantage of the love that has been perfected among us. Look at 1 John 4. Look at verse 17. In 1 John 4, in verse number 17, John, our brother, one in whom Jesus loved, had this to say. So to be very encouraging. He says, love has been perfected among us in that we may have boldness. Notice this, Doc Hall, in the day of judgment. We can have confidence on that day? You mean I can know when I stand before God on that great day, that noble day, the day of the Lord, the day of Christ, the day of judgment, I can have boldness and confidence. There's nothing arrogant about that. I know that I can be saved, and you know in your heart right now if you stand as a hypocrite. You know that. Friends, if you stand as one, let's fix it. You don't have to remain one. You can be right with the Lord. And the very fact that you're here ought to say something about you. If you're an adult and you're here, it says a lot about you that you want to hear spiritual things. You want to hear a message that's going to encourage you and admonish you and challenge you to be like Jesus. So when you die and press a dying pillow, or Jesus Christ comes back before you die, that means that you can be with God throughout eternity, and you can sing praises unto him throughout eternity, and you can serve God throughout eternity, and you can see the face of God. All of that is found in Revelation 22 throughout eternity. Friends, we're not smart enough to make up these things. God is good to us. So let us work out our salvation. Let us walk in the Spirit today. Galatians 5, verse 16. Romans 8, verse 2. Let us get up from falling down. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 24. But Bonner, what does this have to do with the judgment day? Well, let's talk about it. Those who fall into sin and remain in it are separated from God. Yet those who fall into sin and get up, Pope Joy, are pleasing to the Lord. Hold on. Are you serious? I've made some serious mistakes. I'm inside of some serious circumstances even right now. You're telling me that if I can get out of this, God will accept me as a child of God? Yeah. Acts 8:22, repent and pray. As a non-Christian, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. There it is. Notice, Proverbs 24, verse 16, for a righteous man falls seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. Question. Don't you want to be a righteous man? We all make mistakes. We all do things that are just downright crazy. Can I say this word without being judged wrong or even chastised? Sometimes we do things that are just downright stupid. I do. And I need good brothers and sisters who are going to say, hey, you probably need to think that over again. So what do? With it? You get up. You rise from it. Oh, and when you stand before Jesus to give an answer to things that you have done in this body, God can see a man, Jesus can see a man that has turned away from their sin. Ezekiel 18. You know, if a righteous man turns from his righteousness unto sin, he'll be lost. But if a wicked man turns from his wickedness unto righteousness, he will be saved. God is a fair God. He's given us a reason, and he's given us opportunity and hope for that last day. So we need to use the Lord's Supper as an opportunity to examine ourselves. Paul would say it like this in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 5. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Examine yourself. Let's end with this. What will be given to us on that day? That day we stand before Jesus Christ and he says, well done to those who are faithful. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, to those who are not. But Paul would say it like this in 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 8. He will give me a crown of righteousness. Elders who are faithful will receive the crown of life. Christians who are faithful, Revelation 2 and verse number 10, will receive a crown of life. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll end with this. In 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us, brought us forth again to a living hope. How, Peter? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To where, Peter? To an inheritance. We have something waiting on us. What type of inheritance is this? It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It doesn't fade away. Peter, where is it? It's reserved in heaven. For who, Peter? For you. I don't know what more God can do for us on that great day. On that great day. And give us the encouragement that we need. No wonder gospel teaching and preaching is so important. We need to be reminded that, hey, I can stand before God as a righteous man or woman. I can actually do the will of God and look toward the inheritance that's reserved in heaven. Friends, don't you want to go to heaven? Be faithful. Do the will of God. And be confident. Listen to this. Be confident that when you go to sleep at night,
When you get inside of your vehicle, when you go up in an elevator or an airplane, that your life is right with God, and if things don't work out in that airplane, 30,000 feet in the air, you say your prayer because once it hits the ground, you're done.
But if you're faithful, you're not done. Oh, friends, that's the beauty of this life. But James, I don't have a problem getting up in a plane. I love being up 30,000 feet in the air. And whether I come down as a secure crash landing or an unsecure crash landing, it's like a secure loan or an unsecure loan. Doesn't matter. Because the one in whom I'm serving is faithful. Friends, God is faithful. Don't be afraid of the judgment day if you're faithful. As a matter of fact, it's an encouraging day. I wish we could sing that song, "There's a Great Day Coming," as an invitation song. Can you get that ready? I'll keep preaching until you get it ready. There is a great day coming. And the question we have to ask ourselves, is it great to us? You got people even in the church, they're dreading that day. I don't know if I'm saved. Don't live that way. Don't deceive yourself. Don't live that way. You have it? 674. Let me give you the invitation real quick. 674. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, if you haven't been baptized into the church, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 13. If you haven't been baptized into Christ, Galatians 3, verse 26 and 27. Friends, we want you to think about that today. If you need more study, we got more than able preachers to help you with that. As a matter of fact, 9th and Main has an abundance of preachers here. There's no reason for no one in our vicinity to ever be lost because of all of the richness that's in this building. To God be the glory. Believe that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins, meaning turn away from sin. Turn to righteousness. Turn to Jesus Christ. Confess Him to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and God will wash away all of your sins. He'll clean your conscience. He'll add you to the church. He'll give you this beautiful family of righteous believers. Remember, you're a child of God and you're afraid of the judgment day. I just don't know what's going to happen on that day. Okay, that's fine. It's not the end of the world, and it doesn't mean you're lost. It just means you need to grow in your confidence. Because God is greater than our hearts. Amen. As we stand and as we sing, Savior's invitation.